Okay, we start here at the top of Lamed Gimel and Lamed Aleph, about the second line down. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So we have a memra here from Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. We've had a number of memrot from him. Here's an additional memra with the Gabei Mizuzah, which is Katfal Shnei Dapim Psula. So the way Rashi reads this is if you wrote the Mizuzah, the Shema Bayim Shemoa, in two columns, Psula, Meitevei Katfal Shnei Dapim, Ve'enicha B'Shnei Sipim Psula. He wrote it in, according to Rashi, on two columns, and then he placed it on two separate mezuzot, Psula. Ha, the inference, of course, is B'Saf Echad Sheira. Had he written it on two columns and put it on one mezuzah, that would have been fine. So my answer is up no. Re'uya L'Shnei Sipim Ka'amar. Doesn't mean he literally put it on two Sipim, but rather he placed it in such a way that it would have been Re'uya for Shnei Sipim. Rashi writes, Rashi's conclusion is that he wrote Sheniach Gevil Chalak Ben Daf L'Daf. He wrote two columns with a gap between the two columns. And the gap, right, exactly, the gap between the two columns allows you to cut it and put it on Shnei Sipim. Rashi claims that that's what the Psula is here. Tosus takes issue with that. He says, I don't understand. By Tefillin, we write it exactly that way. We write Tefillin in multiple columns. There's no issue with writing in multiple columns. The issue is multiple klafim. That to write it on multiple parchments and then to put them together, that's the problem. And that's what Tosus says in the end. Tosus says in the end, the problem here is that he took two pieces of cloth, he wrote Shema on one, Vayayim Shema on the other, and he put them up together on the same post. So that's Ru'uya L'Shnei Sipim. It's Ru'uya to use on both posts, one on each mezuzah, but he put them together. That is Psula. That's problematic. So as Rashi thinks the problem here is even when you write it on a single cloth, if you leave any space between them, it'll allow you to cut it. That's the problem. Tosu says as long as you're on a single cloth, he doesn't see any issue with being on a single cloth. Even in two columns on a single cloth, he thinks it's fine. He says only once you've written on two pieces of cloth, then you run into an issue. And that's what Tosu says. Then the other issue is, well, can you sew them together? Can you stitch them together? Like by Sefer Torah, that's what we do. We stitch them together. Yerushalmi says that one of the differences between a Sefer Torah and a mezuzah is the stitching. Is exactly that. By a Sefer Torah, you can stitch the gvil or the cloth, whatever you use, together. Whereas by a mezuzah, you cannot do that. Later on, we find there's an additional Tosos, an additional Shami that says you can't stitch them together. There are those that want to suggest that the difference has to do with when you stitch them together. If you stitch them together for the writing, that's fine, even for mezuzah. Whereas if you stitch them together after the writing, by Sefer Torah, that's fine. That's exactly what we do. You write Yiriyah, and then you stitch them together. But by mezuzah, that would be unacceptable. The problem is that Tosus later on even says that stitching of a mezuzah, even after the fact, would be okay, which is a problem for that Yerushalmi. But the easiest way to explain the difference would be exactly that, that the writing before or after the stitching is done. Nevertheless, the problem here, or the best way to do it, is to have it in a single column, on a single piece of cloth, and then you don't run into any problems whatsoever. Now, Ramar Yudah Amar Shmuel, we have another memra from them. Bit mezuzah, aleich achar hekir tzir. By mezuzah, you go after the hekir tzir, after the hinge, the location of this, the hinge. My hekir tzir, what does that mean, the location of the hinge? Amar of Ada Avakta. It's talking about the hole in the ground. If you go to any archaeological site, you can see this, and anytime they have a doorway, there's usually a hole that is carved out or drilled into the base of the threshold. That was the hinge upon which the door stood. As opposed to our doors today, which are hinged to the mezuzot, to the wall, their doors were hinged into the ground, up and down into the ground, to the roof and into the lintel, into the threshold. So that avakta will determine where the mezuzah goes. So my says, hey chidami, what's the case over here? Kagon pitcha de ben trei bate, a door between two houses, ben begaver the beinashi. For example, between the men's section and the women's section of the house. So Rashi explains that he sectioned off his house, that the inner part will be for his wife to work, mitzniut, and the outer section are for people coming to visit, to deal with business, so on and so forth, but there's a separation within the house. The question here is, why do you need the hekir tzir? We know that whatever is the derech nisa, whatever is the way, the normal flow of traffic, that's what determines where the mezuzah goes. What is this idea here of the tzir being koveya? So most of the Rishonim, Rashi included here, explained that this is only a secondary consideration over here. It's not the primary consideration. The primary consideration is what is the flow of traffic? Where do you normally go through this door? How do you do entering the house? So on and so forth. When you enter the house, you're always going to have it on the right side, because the entering of the house is the main reason for the door there, is to go from the outside into the bayit. The one time that comes up, for instance, is in a situation like this, where we are, which is a mirpeset. By a mirpeset, we have a door coming into the house, which side should it go on? Even though the main flow of traffic has to be from the house out to the mirpeset, because that's the only access to the mirpeset, nevertheless, Chazanish and many of the Bnei Yeshivot put it on the right side entering into the house, because the Knesset to the Bayit is always the determining factor, and therefore they put on the right, even from a mirpeset. It has no outside access to the mirpeset, nevertheless they'll put on the right side coming into the house. A secondary consideration will be, then, if you have equal sides, like this, where you have two houses, two rooms on both sides of the door, and you don't have a direction of traffic, a flow of traffic, you don't have any priority given to one way or the other. How do you know which is the right side of that door? So this is the secondary consideration, is Heker Tzir. Heker Tzir says, look where the hinge is placed into the ground. Whichever side the hinge is placed into the ground, that's what Rashi says, Ha'utzad Shachor Bo Choshi Bayit. That's classified as the Bayit. V'derech Yamin K'shenich Shlebim Notur Mezuzah. So whichever side the hinge is in the ground, that side is classified as the Bayit, and therefore coming from the other side will be considered entering to that place, entering into that house. And since you're entering into that house, you'll put on the right side of the entrance into the area where the hinge is located. So wherever the hinge is located will be classified as Bayit, the equivalent of for coming from outside the house, from the chatzer into the bayit, that will be the same classification here. Wherever the hinge is, that will be classified as the bayit over here. That's secondary consideration.
The hinge was in the middle of the plane of the time?
I think it would have been harder for them to do that because of the swing of the door. Meaning if you're hinged to the mezuzah, then the door can open and you can always close into the doorway, into the mezuzah. If you are hinged into the ground, if you turn the door, there'll be a gap between you and the mezuzah, unless you're outside of the actual frame of the mezuzah, because you need room for the door to swing, the back of the door to swing. So because of that, I think they used to place it on the edges, on one edge or the other, of the frame of the doorway, in order to allow it to pivot and not get caught on the mezuzot. I'm assuming that's the case here. I'm assuming it's to deal with that issue, which is that in order to have it flush with the mezuzot, the only way to do that is to have the hinge on the outside. I mean, our hinges are on the door itself, so it allows for the door to close into the actual mezuzot. If you're not hinged that way, and you're hinged from the out in the top and bottom, then it's very hard to make it work like this.
In today's days, when we have the hinges on the door itself, not on the wall, do we still just lock the mindset?
We do use it sometimes. It's a secondary condition. Which way does the door open? Correct. Like for us today, it will make a difference. Like here, you see, for instance, the door here opens this way, meaning that where does it hit against the inside? You have the slam where the door hits. You can put the door on either side of the slam inside of the mezuzot, the mashkot. So in our day, that might be the determination. Which way does the door open? Does it open inward or outward? And that would be the secondary determination. Again, primary determination is bayit and traffic, and then this would be a secondary consideration. If we have equal, what do you do in that situation?
You put the mezuzah on the side opposite.
So it won't matter where the tzirim is. It's whatever the right side is of entering. I mean, it doesn't matter. The tzirim could be on either side of the doorway. It could be left or right side of the door. I'm assuming that they would have them on the left side, because if most people are righties, you'd want to enter the door, open the door from the right side. Reish Kaluta, Bana Beita. Reish Kaluta put up a new governor's estate. Amar Le Rav Nachman, Kavali Mezuzta. Come over and put up my mezuzot. I need the Rav to come by and put up the mezuzot. Amar Rav Nachman, Tali Dashi Bereisha. Put up the doorways, the doors first, and then I'll come over. What the problem was over here is a machloket rishonim, wide ranging machloket rishonim. Rashi says the problem here is that the mezuzot weren't up yet. The door frame itself wasn't up, and therefore it's a problem of taseh velo minasui. One must mount the mezuzah on the mezuzot, on the doorposts that are already affixed to the house. You can't affix the mezuzah to the doorpost and then put the doorpost into the frame. That's taseh velo minasui. The mezuzah is only placed once the door frame is there. So Rashi says he's told the Reish Kaluta, put up your door frames, and then I'll come over and put up your mezuzot. I can't stick the mezuzot into the doorpost before you have the doorpost in the door frame. That's Rashi's interpretation. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, we're going to have a sugi on the second half of today's daf, that this would tasev lo minasui. If that's the case, then it shouldn't be relevant over here. It should have been fit over there in that sugi. The fact that it's mentioned here means that the problem has to do with something that we're talking about over here. What's that? Which side was the hinge on? These were doorways between different internal rooms, and he didn't know which way was the flow of traffic or which way was the knisah or the yitzia. So he said to them, first put up the door hinges, and then I'll know where to put the mezuzah. I can't put up the mezuzah until you put up the doors. Once you put up the doors, I know where you've hinged the doors, and then I'll know which direction I should consider the inside and which one is the the outside. So that's what he's telling him. I can't do it until you put up the doors with the hinges. The Rambam, on the other hand, believes you don't put a mezuzah on a door until there's a door there. And he says, Dalei Beis Dasha, put up your doors. Once your doors are up, then I can put the mezuzah up. Without the doors, you don't have a chiyuv mezuzah, and therefore I'll wait for you to put up the doors. Once your doors are up, I'll come over and I'll put up your mezuzot. So that's the three different ways of viewing the three different Rishonim about what the issue was that he didn't want to do until he put up the doors or the doorposts.
And of course, Rashi used the frame itself. That's what was missing. And then where would you put the mezuzah?
On the doorpost, but not attached to the wall. Like as if he has a frame here, put it on, and then he'll put the frame in. That's what Rashi. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav. So now we switch it. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda was the Talmud of both Shmuel and Rav. Learned by both of them. So now I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Now here we get to something that is very fundamental. There's a fundamental machlokas and has massive nachkaminot on how we put our mezuzah up. If he puts it in like a bolt, then it's pasul. Now generally you would assume that a bolt means that he drilled it straight into the wall, right into the wall. Although both Rashi and the way the Rabbeinu Tam explained it here, it doesn't seem that that's the case. For sure, the Rabbeinu Tam, not according to Rashi, probably should have said min rachba or something like that. But min agar means he bolted it. Like the bolt goes into the wall, it's flat and straight. That's it. So asan kamin agar psula. Ini, is that really true? Vaki at Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef amar kulu mezuzot de Rabbi kamin agar neger abu avdin. He says, I saw all the mezuzot of Rabbi, and they were all done like this min neger, like a bolt. V'ha'i pitcho the al bei Rabbi the bei midrasha. And the door for which Rebbe entered into the Beit Midrash, lavala mezuzah. That did not have a mezuzah on it. Rebbe had a private entrance into the Beit Midrash right by his seat, so he wouldn't have to walk through the whole Beit Midrash. It caused everybody to stand up. So it was like a back door for him to get in so that he could go straight to his seat without causing any tircha to the Talmidim, whether he was leaving or coming in, that they would have to stand up. On that doorway, there was no mezuzah. So now we have two issues that we have to deal with. One is, what's the first statement when it says, Kmin Neger's Psula, and then we have, by Rebbe, they put it in that way. And the second problem is that Rebbe doesn't have mezuzah on the door by his seat in the Beit Midrash, which we'll see in a second is a problem also. Mar says, Lo Kasha, Ha Davida Kisichta, that is, it was made like a peg. Ha Davida Kis Devira. That, the other one is like it was made like a knee. That's the whole Gemara. This whole Gemara determines how we put our mezuzah up. Now, Rashi says, Kimin Neger, what does it mean, like a bolt? It means laying down, flat. Do not put up the mezuzah flat, lying down. Now, when Rashi says it, he means along the horizontal of the door. Over here, you can see in the picture, because they don't have three-dimensional pictures, you can see in the picture in Rashi, the top piece of that first picture is what he means by the horizontal. If it's a bolt, it's going straight into the wall. Truthfully, even for Rashi, if it was going across, the wall would be problematic also. You cannot lay down your mezuzah. So then they say, well, in the Bei Rebbe, Pineger was okay. That was fine. What's the answer? Habasichta, one is like a peg. Vahab is the viro. And the other one is that it is like an istavira, like a knee. So Rashi brings down two interpretations of what that means. Istavira is makom chibar ashok varego. It's the point which you enjoin the thigh to the bottom part of the leg, to the calf. So now, one of the two options is that if it is kasichta, means a peg going in like the bolt, a peg you bang into the wall, and a peg is also on the horizontal. So if you do it on the horizontal, psula. And that's the min neger, the first min neger is psula because it's done on the horizontal. If you could do it ke istavira, one of two possibilities. Your leg can be in two positions. That's why your leg can either be bent when you're sitting, then your thigh, and then your calf is downward, is vertical, and your thigh is horizontal. Or you could be standing up. If you're standing up, then your thigh and your calf are in the vertical position. And Rashi brings both interpretations down. The kosher mezuzah is either when it's vertical or when it's bent like a knee. I mean, it's partially horizontal, but it's also vertical. Yeah, they bent it in the middle and they turned it up. That's what it says. Rashi shows a picture, kind of. You can see that picture there. I know it's not so clear, but some sort of picture like that in the bottom horseshoe that he has there on the bottom right. So the problem is always when the mezuzah lies horizontally. It lies horizontally, Rashi says, psula, doesn't work. Vertically, Rashi says it's fine. And then he has this istavira, where if it's bent like this, then it's also okay. That's Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam says, no way, no how, cannot be. That's not the explanation over here. He says that min neger means vertical. Min neger means that it's vertical, and sichto is like a peg, like the peg in the Mishkan. When they put the sichtot into a whole day yiriot up, they bang a peg, you bang a peg into the ground. That's vertical. That doesn't go into the wall. We're thinking about a peg going into the wall. Think about a peg of a tent that goes into the ground. That is vertical. So he says, Kamin Neger that's psula is if you put it in vertically. If it's vertical, psula. Then what is Ksheira? Ksheira is in Min Istavira. So Min Istavira, according to him, is either like Rashi, which is, means that it's bent at the knee, and it's partially horizontal, partially vertical. Or the other possibility is it's talking about the thigh piece of the leg, which is that it should only be horizontal. That horizontal is fine. His proof is from a Sefer Torah. He says, I see from the Sefer Torah what happens. When the Sefer Torah is vertical, everybody stands up. When they get to the Bima and they lay down the Sefer Torah, everybody sits down. So what's considered to be Shechiva? What's considered to be at rest? What's the proper at rest position for a Sefer Torah? Laying down, flat. What's considered to be moving and not at rest, not stationary? That's when the Sefer Torah is vertical, it's standing up. So he says the same thing by the mezuzah. If you want a mezuzah at rest, it should be laying down. That's the proper way to position it. You have a mezuzah that's upright, that's a mezuzah that's standing. It's not at rest. It's not the makum shechiva. It's not resting over there. Svaradim, right? It's very interesting, right? Because of the, definitely because of the Ashkenazi Sefer Torah. The Svaradim Sefer Torah is always in the vertical position. It's just a question of it's moving by someone or not moving by someone. I saw some people say that according to Rabbeinu Tam, he would think that in the Aron Kodesh, that you'd even lay the Sefer Torah down flat and not vertical, because that's the proper at rest position. I don't see that in the Tosos. I see the Tosos says that when he comes, Sefer Torah made ala mi bia, right? A kol omdim, when he lays it down. So this might be a proof also to Ramosha's position, Ramosha Feinstein's position about the fact that when the Sefer Torah is placed in those holders and it's vertical, that's not considered to be at rest, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Only when the Torah is b'shechiva is considered to be at rest, according to him. And therefore, when someone's not holding it, it's not in a proper shechiva, it's not stationary, and you have to stand up because the Torah is still on midah. From that comes out a huge nafamina, of course, between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. What's the proper way to put on your mezuzah? According to Rashi, it's to put it up straight, vertical. According to Rabbeinu Tam, how do you put up your mezuzah? Horizontal. What do? We do both, right? We do al achson. We do it on an angle. We do it at an angle in order to not be problematic. I mean, they both agree that istavira works. They both agree if you do it at a right angle, that it works. And the Tosfos also suggests over here a similar type of idea that they both agree that be'alachson it's okay. Hilkach nira, ben lepeir shekuntres, ben lebeinu tam, kistavira deksheru, hainu be'alachson. That means that the istavira here that they both agree to is on an angle, not like a 90 degree angle, but literally an angle. Lo shochei ve'lo zakuf. As long as it's not laying down, as long as it's not vertical. Inami kemin nun. Then he brings the other option, which is a minnun, mechza shochev mechza zakuf. What we do in the end is based on this alachson, which basically avoids the problem for both of them. They both agree that min neger is psula. According to Rashi, min neger means lying down flat. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, it means being vertical. That's a problem. Now, only Bei Rebbe did kistavira. They're the only ones who did it the other way around, which is, according to Rashi, the possibility that they did it vertically. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, he said they did it flat. But that means that everybody else in the world was doing it some other way. What was the alternative that everybody else used? That wasn't problematic. So it has to be something in between. And that's basically what the Tosfos is suggesting over here. That something in between is how everybody else put up their mezuzot. That wasn't a problem. Because according to Rashi, the problem is shechiva. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the problem is amida. But, so Rebbe did the opposite extreme. He either did, according to Rashi, he did the amida. According to Rabbeinu Tam, he did the shechiva. But in the end, everybody else didn't do like Bei Rebbe and didn't do kamin neger. So what did they do? They either did this estavira. Estavira either means a right angle, that it was like this, like a nun, or they did it on an alexon, on an angle. And that's what we do today, in order to be in between these two positions and not be puzzled.
It's brought down in the Halakha Mishulchan Aruch. It says no, because you have Rashi, you have Tosfot. You're telling us that only then, that's why you're supposed to do it to be on Zavot.
Because they only state definitively what's pasul. They don't tell you what is kosher. So because of that, the compromise is to bring it in between, because then you're not pasul the gamre according to either position.
So you saw it in the shuls and gamma.
Straight, vertical, yeah. There are many of the old mezuzot that were found, were all found that they were vertical. It's just like Shita Rashi, like many times, that the archaeological evidence, a lot of time the evidence is in Rashi's favor in these pshatim, because Rashi's not making his pshat not made up, his Rashi is usually taking a mesorah. Rashi's whole parish is written on gathering many of the mesorot and going with what he felt was the strongest mesorah. So it's not unusual to find that Rashi's mesorah was right, and the evidence in the end proves that he was right. They're not always, but I'm saying a lot of times they have that. So over here also, the vertical makes a lot of sense. And again, like this, if you talk about Sephardi Sefer Torah, the whole Rabbeinu Tam's proof goes out the window. So it's not really, right, his strength of his pshat is only when you're talking about an Ashkenazi Sefer Torah. B'shechiva, you never see it. The Sephardi Torah is never b'shechiva, so there's nothing to talk about. So anyway, that's our compromise. That's how we put up our mezuzot based on this machloket. Now, the next question which we dealt with is, why didn't Rebbe have on his doorway a mezuzah? Va'ahu pit ini? Is it really true that Rebbe didn't have a mezuzah there? Va'ahu pit chadava alba Rav Huna lebe mitzushav avila mezuzah. Rav Huna had the same type of doorway, and he had a mezuzah on his doorway. So why is it Rebbe didn't, and Rav Huna did? Where it says, ha'u ragil hava. That was a more frequented entrance. You go after where the most frequented way. Now, halacha karagil can mean two things. Here, they're meaning that it's the most frequented door, meaning which one is used more frequently. It could also be haragil hava, is which way is the flow of traffic. What is the flow of traffic through that doorway? That's where you determine where the mezuzah is. Rashi interprets here that this was an entrance from the outside into the Beit Midrash, and the question is frequency of use. That you only put a mezuzah on the door that is most frequently used. Now, Rashi does not miyached, it does not define this as being only a din in Beit Midrash, which means that it's a very interesting din. That means if you have multiple doors, only the most frequent din one would require mezuzah, according to this. Which we don't necessarily do. We put a mezuzah up on every door. According to Rashi, maybe that's only because of maradayin, meaning that you don't have to put it up according to this. Now, if you think the din is unique to Beit Midrash, then you could argue that that's true only by Beit Midrash. And that's because, and Tosfos brings this down here, the reason that Rebbe didn't put it on is because this was talking about a doorway from the house to the Beit Midrash. It was not talking about a case where it's talking about a doorway from the outside into the Beit Midrash, but a doorway from his house. His house is adjacent to the Beit Knesset, the Beit Midrash, and he had a doorway straight from his house. You know, many of the Chassid Shirubim, they have this also. Their house is adjacent to Beit Midrash. They have a special doorway where they can just come into the Beit Midrash, right into directly in. They don't come in from the outside. So that's the doorway that we are talking about. So now, Tosfos says, that's the difference between the two doorways. The doorway by Rabbi coming in was a doorway from his house into the Beit Midrash, and it was used on an infrequent basis going into the Beit Midrash. Whereas that of Rav Huna was a regular doorway. Other people used it as well. It wasn't just Rav Huna's doorway into the, from the house in, but it was a doorway that was used by multiple people, and that's why it had the din of mezuzah. Now, truthfully, a Beit Midrash and Beit Knesset, and Tosfos brings this down, is machloket tanaim, whether a Beit Knesset really needs a mezuzah. We paskin that a Beit Knesset does not need a mezuzah. We do it. It's a nice thing to do, and we do it anyway, but there's no chiyuv to put up a mezuzah on a Beit Knesset. So according to this, without a bracha, right, you would put it up. If it's not chayav, you would put it up without a bracha. The difference might be, and this many people point out, the difference might be between a Beit Midrash and a Beit Knesset. That we have generally with dinim. And one is allowed to eat in a Beit Midrash, not eat in a Beit Knesset. One can fall asleep in a Beit Midrash, cannot fall asleep in a Beit Knesset. Because a Beit Knesset has a different level of tushah, a Beit Midrash. And that's Beit Knesset is only used for tefillah. It's not used as a makom of dira. Unless the chazan HaKnesset lives there, it's not a makom dira, therefore it doesn't require mezuzah. The other hand, Beit Midrash is used all throughout the day and has much more of a sense of makom dira. Therefore, the Beit Midrash might require a mezuzah. That could also be a differentiation here, whether we're talking about Beit Knesset or Beit Midrash, whether there is a requirement for mezuzah. But what Rashi is learning it is that it's a separate entrance into the Beit Knesset, and since it's not the frequented entrance, you don't need a mezuzah there. Whereas Tosfos believes it's a specific entrance from his house, petach habayit yotzei mimenu Beit Midrash. Avo petach Beit Midrash shmo lo bayit mezuzah. It says that if it's a regular door into the Beit Midrash, regular door from the outside, you don't need a mezuzah because it's potur. Beit Knesset, Beit Midrash, of Turim from the mezuzah. The chiyuv here comes from the fact that it is from his house into the Beit Midrash. And therefore, that's why they were talking about whether it should use or need a mezuzah. And the question is, Avi Rogelba, how frequently was it used? Did Rebbe barely didn't use it so much? He came from the outside most times. Avun always used it, so therefore he put up a mezuzah there versus Rebbe who did not have a mezuzah on that door. All right, next. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Matan, Amar Shmuel. Mitzvah lanicha b'tchilat shlish elyon. The proper placement for the mezuzah is on the top third of the doorpost, at the beginning of the top third. Not, meaning that once you've got two thirds up the doorpost, that's where you put the mezuzah. Vuna amar, magbiya min akarka tefach, umarchik min akura tefach, one tefach off the ground, one tefach down from the lintel, v'chol petach kulo kasher the mezuzah. Anywhere you want on the mezuzah, it's yours. Free reign. As long as you're a tefach off the top, tefach off at the bottom. Meitevei, magbiya min akarka tefach, umarchik min akura tefach, for Braita, where the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Yehuda, says that you take it off the lintel one tefach, off the ground one tefach. Cholopeta kulo kasher the mezuzah, de Rabbi Yehuda, which obviously accords with the position that we just read in Rav Huna. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ukshartem ukhtavtem, says the juxtaposition of tefillin to mezuzah, says ukshartem, mak shira begova. When you take your arm, the placement of the tefillin on the arm is in the upper part of the arm. Av ktiva begova. So too, the ktiva, the affixed affixing of the mezuzah should be on the upper part of the doorway. Bishmol Rav Huna, great Rav Huna, who damak Rav Yehuda, Elushmol damak Aman. Who does Shmuel hold like? Loki Rabbi Yehuda, but Loki Rabbi Yossi. Doesn't like hold Rabbi Yehuda, who says the whole doorpost. And now like Rabbi Yossi, who seems to say that the higher the better. Rabbi Yossi never mentions it about being at the lower half of the top third. He says, put it up as high as possible, like the tefillin, as high on your arm as possible. You put it on. Amra Avuna Breid Rav, not on, the Olam Rabbi Yossi. No, Be'emet, that position that was brought down in the name of Shmuel, who is like Rabbi Yossi? Umay tchilat shlish elyon. What does it mean? Beginning of the top third. Gamar lachika. You're talking about how far from the top can you go? Shaloy lachika min akora shomalo yoter mishlish. Says don't drop down from the top more than one third. But that means that the primary location is up high. Just don't come down lower than one third from that. That's only considered to be the top unless you come down from one third. So that would imply from the conclusion here that the best way to put the mezuzah is as high as possible on the doorpost. Just don't come down below a third. Problem is that the Yerushalmi says that the proper placement of mezuzah is beketfayim, where your shoulder is. Where your shoulder meets the doorway, that's the best place to place the mezuzah. Tosis over here says, machlokas Yerushalmi and Bavli. Machlokas, Yerushalmi and Bavli, and therefore you should place it based on the Bavli in the top third of the doorway. And it seems it's higher the better. In that, the Rambam codifies the halacha and says, you should do it a tefach off the top, B'shlish Elyon, again on the top third of the doorway. Now where the Rambam got a tefach at the top is very strange. That was in the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Where did Rabbi Yossi ever mention a tefach at the top? Rabbi Yossi never mentioned the tefach at the top. The Rambam still codifies as a lach, it should be a tefach at the top. So some want to say that's because he said uksharitam, by tefillin also. By tefillin, you're not allowed to put your tefillin all the way up the top. Your tefillin are a little bit off the shoulder. They're off the shoulder, but on the higher part. So maybe you got it from there. That comparison indicates that there is some sort of distance from the top. But the right that is Masig on the Rambam right away, and he says that's only in a small doorway. In a small door frame, you put it on the top third. The door frame is very big. Where do you place it? Beketfayim, at the shoulder level. So what you see from Tosfos and the Rambam is they believe there's a machlokas Bavli and Shalmei, and they both paskin like the Bavli. But their Ibid says no, that the Bavli is also only talking about a case frame, talking about a normal door frame. Put in a large door frame, you got to place it beketfayim, at the shoulder level of the doorway. And then, what's the evidence? The evidence today, you go into the Shirei Yerushalayim, where those mezuzot are placed. At the shoulder level. They're not placed up at the Shlish Elyon. They're placed at a level where people can reach them and they can kiss the mezuzot going in there. That's because they're in Yerushalayim, so they went with the Yerushalmi. That's generally what we do. Generally, we try to reconcile between them, is that we try to have it in the Shlish Elyon, but also try to get it to Ketfayim. Therefore, when we place it in the Shlish Elyon, we try to keep it towards the lower end of the Shlish Elyon generally, because for most people, the Ketfayim would be in that area. If you went up towards the top, you'd lose out on the Ketfayim aspect of it. But we try to keep it towards the lower half of that Shlish Elyon in order to be Be'etzel Ketfayim. Obviously, if the doorway is significantly bigger, it seems to be, at least what I've seen, is that people go after Ketfayim in those cases. In the instances where you can't, the Shlish Elyon is going to be way out of reach and not really within the purview of people, then they move it down to the level of Ketfayim and they go with the Yerushalmi, assuming that you can reconcile between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. The Bavli is only talking about a normal door frame. Amar Rava, mitzvah l'anicha b'tefach ha'smuch l'shut ha'bamim. We saw this yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, was Rashi was explaining to us what was the havamina that you should put the mezuzah outside the doorway. What was the reason that you should put it outside the doorway? Because of this memory of Rava. The mitzvah l'anicha b'tefach ha'smuch l'shut ha'bamim. When you're talking about in the door frame itself, you want to get to the tefach that is closest to the shut ha'bamim. Question is, my timer. What's the reason? Why do you get it close? What's the benefit of getting it closer to the Shut HaRabim than inside the house? But I'm a sheaf of mezuzah miyad. I'll tell you why. Because when you walk into the house, you want to bump into the mezuzah as soon as possible. So as soon as possible means move it out to the Shut HaRabim, because that's the way that you're entering the house. The mezuzah offers protection to the individual inside from the mazikim. Where you want it to be on the furthest most point of the house, so it protects the most of the house. The further out it is, the more of the house that it protects. It's just for your benefit. Amar Rabbi Chanina, bo rei shlok mina tokarish bo chum mina pasar v'dam. Shem is not like human beings. Mina pasar v'dam melchushim bifnim ve'am or avadav mishamim otobim b'chutz. The king's on the inside. The servants, the guards, are on the outside protecting him. We sit on the inside. And the mezuzah, which represents the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, sits on the outside and protects us on the inside. It's a very nice thought. Hashem shomracha, Hashem tzulcha, yad minecha. Hashem protects you. Hashem tzulcha is your shadow. Al yad minecha. On the right side. What does it mean on the right side? The mezuzah that sits on the right side affords the tzel to be within the tzel shekhinah. But again, you see this idea, which others want to deny, that a mezuzah also does afford protection. That the association of protection from a zikin and protection of the house and protection of the individual by the mezuzah, the Gemara clearly has that type of theme in it, that type of idea within the mezuzah, that it does offer protection. And that you can't say that the mezuzah, like before we saw in yesterday's daf, that they were upset about the people putting it on the makel, and they were upset about the people putting it behind the dachreya delet. So where we say it's sakana. Sakana is what? Sakana. Those who want to say it's literal sakana, that he's going to bump into it, he's going to bang his head on it, he's going to hurt himself. Therefore, the Torah, by the way, paskins that it's a kosher mezuzah if you do it. You do it that way, it's a kosher mezuzah, because that's what you just said, it's a sakana. Sakana nefashot, but it's still a good mezuzah. We don't want you to do it because we don't want you to get into trouble. Whereas Rashi's interpretation was, it's lo mishamra, it's not efficacious. It doesn't protect the house. It doesn't protect the house, then the mezuzah is not a good mezuzah, and it's puzzle. It doesn't work at all. That's the way we paskin, obviously, that it's puzzle the gamre. But if that's the case, you see that mezuzah is intended to provide a certain amount of protection. That emphasis on protection is definitely here in the Gemara, that the mezuzah provides protection, as we discussed yesterday. But that's only when it's working as a mezuzah in the context of the proper mitzvah. When you make it into an amulet, if you make it into a sort of segula, then it doesn't work as a protection. You know, we talked about hanging it from the mirror in the car. Those types of things that are not considered to be the appropriate mitzvah mezuzah, that they don't afford protection as a mezuzah. Mezuzah is protection when it's done properly as a mitzvah toh on the doorway. If you go a tefach deep into the mezuzah, it's pasul. Meaning that the mezuzah has to be on the outer depth of the mezuzah. The doorpost has to be within a tefach of the doorpost. Today we don't have a problem. We affix a mezuzah outside of the doorpost entirely. They're affixed onto the doorpost. But you know, it's still in Yerushalayim where they drill into the wall. They bury the mezuzah was in the doorpost itself, which they did in their time also. How deep can you go into the wall to put the mezuzah? Here it says, up to a tefach, within a tefach of the outer edge of the doorpost, that's considered to be a mezuzah. If you go two more than a tefach in, you're no longer in the mezuzah. So Leima Misayile, say that this brayta helps him. And Icha Bepatzim, he put it into the doorpost. Oshetala Alea Malbein. And then he plastered over it a brick. What happened was he placed the mezuzah in, and then he either put on more the plaster, extended the doorpost outward, or he put another row of bricks over the doorpost where the mezuzah was already. Im yesham tefach, tzarech mezuzah acheret. If the depth of the new addition is more than a tefach, he needs a new mezuzah. Imav, if not, ein tzarech mezuzah acheret. So that would be helpful to this position that we just brought down from Darash of Yosef. That he mikla tefach sounds like tefach as the guiding principle of when it's considered to be the mezuzah or not. Or it says no, kitani yahi bepetach shechrei adelat. This mibraita is talking about a petach behind the doorway. Rashi brings down two interpretations. We'll deal with them in 1 second. Ha behetcher kitani lo. That's explicit in the braita. The next line in the braita is petach shechrei adelat. Im yesham tefach tzrich mezuzah acheret. Im lo bein tzrich mezuzah acheret. How can you say the first part is talking about a bepetach shechrei adelat? That's already mentioned explicitly in the next line in the braita. The one says ketzad tani. It's explained to you. What's this first case that we're speaking about the tefach? It's not even a case. We're talking about a petach achorei adelet. What is this petach achorei adelet? Rashi brings two interpretations down. Bring the easier one first. The easier one first is they framed out a very large entrance to the house. Extremely large entrance they framed out. Later on they decided they didn't want such a big doorway. And they subdivided the doorway into multiple doors. They put in a large door in the middle, and they put the side doors there afterwards. The question is, they affixed the mezuzah originally on the large door frame. Now they have subdivided into multiple doors. Do you have to add a new mezuzah for each door frame that is placed in there? The answer is, depends how wide the doorpost of the additional door frames is. If the additional doorpost is more than a tefach wide, that creates a new door frame, and you'll have to put up a separate mezuzah for the doors that are framed out by these additional doorposts. If the new mezuzot are less than a tefach, they're batel to the doorway, and the original mezuzah will cover the entire doorway, even though there are multiple doors there. So that's what it means, petach shachriya delet. Now that's a little hard to explain. That's one interpretation Rashi brings. That to say, petach achoreya delet, it's hard to explain what that means, achoreya delet. I mean, that sounds like later than the delet, next to the delet, it's called achoreya delet. Rashi's other interpretation, which has difficulties for another reason, but makes more sense this way, is that actually put in doors at the corner of the walls. Hit a door, you're at the corner, hit a door on this side, and a door on this side. Take on any corner of a wall, you had two doors there. The frame of the door used the post of the meeting of the two walls to frame out two doors, one in each direction. Those are two doors there. Question is, do you need multiple mezuzot over here? Is it one mezuzah enough? Is that considered to be a single door frame? Or are they multiple door frames? What's the determining factor over here, whether they are multiple door frames or not? Has to do with that middle post. The post, which has the meeting point between the two walls, how thick is that door post? If that post is more than a tefach, you have two doors, one on each side, mezuzah on each of them. If that door post is thinner than a tefach, then that whole corner is considered to be one door frame, and you only need one mezuzah over there. The difficulty with this shot is, let's think about the usage here. What is the usage for these two doors? So Rashi claims that the door, one door is used to enter the house, one's used to exit the house. If that's the case, now you have a huge problem because the right side is going to be different on each one of these doors. How can one mezuzah be poter both doors? Because the right side for them is different. The one that's used to enter the house, the right side, is on the entering the house. The one that's used to exit the house, that's the right side will be the main area of the mezuzah. That would be the left of the other doors. So how could you put on a single mezuzah that will cover both areas in order to be good? I mean, that you have a door on the right side, it's going to protect one of the doors because that's the main usage of that door, say the entering the house. The other door should really need the mezuzah on the other side. So why should one mezuzah on the right side cover it? So according to Rashi, that's what it sounds like. That as long as originally, when you put it up, the mezuzah, it was a single door frame, and when you put it up, it made sense for that door, it'll cover the other door, even though the other door is going the other way.
Thinking how what if this is the door post? When I come in, it'll be on my right. When I leave, it'll also be on my right. The same door post.
If I have a corner here, for instance, let's put up a corner. Right. Say I enter the house from this side, so the right is over here. Now I enter, exit the house over here. The right side's over here. So now you have a problem, right? We're not assuming that he's putting mezuzah on this post because he has to cover both the whole door frame. So it has to be on one of these two sides. Once you've done that, the right, whichever side is the right going in, is not going to be the side right going out. Right, because it can't be that he's putting in the middle post, because then he wouldn't be putter. It's less than a tefach, and wouldn't help for either door then. Right, so it has to be that it's on the, one of the two side walls that he's placing it on. So the way to solve this problem is to say that the secondary door is not used for exiting the house, but rather entering into a chatzer or another house. And therefore, the main, both doors, the right side is the same now. Because the door that's used to enter the house has it on its right side. The door that's used to exit is not used to exit the house, but rather to come from a chatzer or come from another house into this house. And therefore, the right side of that will be the same as the right side of entering the house. So you could have it match up if you change the utility of the other door. You could change it that that side would also be that the right side is the main part, and the mezuzah would cover both of them. Rashi clearly does not say that, but that it would be a solution to the problem is to have the utility of the other door also focus it being on the right side. So you have to answer up for Rashi either that he believes that a single door like this could, if you put it up on the right side, covers both doorways, even if the utility of the other door makes the right different for it, or you have to say like this other interpretation. I said is that you have to change the utility of the other door. Change the utility of the other door, then both of them have that on the right side. So that's the second interpretation of Rashi about what does it mean, petach achoreya delet. Now that makes a lot of sense. Petach achoreya delet, when you want to open up one door, it bumps into the back, the petach that's on the other side. When you open up the door, then you have a petach achoreya delet. That, in terms of the wording here, makes more sense. In terms of the practicality of how you put up a mezuzah there that covers both doors, makes a little less sense. The one where you have a single door frame makes more sense about one mezuzah covering everything, but it's hard to understand what it means, petach achoreya delet, in that case. So each one of them has its strength and weakness in interpreting or explaining this Gemara over here.
So as of now, we don't have a limitation as to the depth that a mezuzah can be in the wall.
No, we do. We have the statement. We just don't have a proof from the Braita that that's true. The statement still stands that the tefach is still there, but it's not a siyuah to him. Correct. All right, next case here. Tana. Himidla mabein shel kanim. If he put up a bricking of, we'll call them bamboo shoots. Let's call it like that. Penim yet hollow shoots are going up. Chotek shfoferet, he cuts one of them. Umenicha, and he places in the mezuzah into one of those kanim that are there. So Amar Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Abba lo shanu el shemid usof chatach. It's only true if he put up the doorpost, these bamboo shoots first, and then enicha, and then he put the mezuzah in it. Of a chatach veniach, he put the mezuzah in first, and the sof emid, and then he put that into the door frame. Psula, that's not going to work, because then you add what's called taseh velo min asui. You put the mezuzah into the shoot before the shoot became the doorpost. That doesn't help you. That's taseh velo min asui. You got to put the mezuzah in once it is the doorpost. It has to be affixed to the mezuzah. Taseh velo min asui. That's the problem. V'amar Rava. Rava says, Hani pitchei shamai. These ruins, these doorways that are ruined, foolish, whatever they are, they're not real doorways. Turim min mezuzah. They don't require mezuzah. Ma pitchei shamai. What are these doorways? Ways. Pligi barav rechume v'abba yosi. Chadamar delele tikra. Delele tikra has no door, no roof. Chadamar delele shikufe. It's missing a shikufe. Rashi brings down two interpretations what that means. Rashi says that delele tikra means iskop elyon. It has no lintel. There's no door frame. There are two mezuzot, but no top. The lintel on top is missing. So there is nothing there on the top, and that's not a door frame. That's why it's patur. The elishna achrina, the other side would be that it's ein shikfe is mezuzot. It doesn't have door posts. So one says it means it's missing the door, the lintel, and one says it's missing the door post. That's the one interpretation. Lishna achrina, the other lashon here is tikrash ein abayit mikure. The house has no roof on it. Shikve is scope elyon. And the second one is that it has no lintel. Both of them are talking about the upper top. One said there's no roof to the house. One said there's no lintel over here. Now, Tosfos takes issue with Rashi right away. He says, we're about to get to an achsadra. An achsadra doesn't have a roof on it. And there the Gemara says that you're chayiv in mezuzah. It has to do with the number of walls around. As long as there are four walls there, you're chayiv. As long as there's a door frame, you're chayiv.
You said the achsadra doesn't have it. We said a few documents on achsadra. It was like Eichel.
Like an achsadra. Achsadra in general doesn't have a roof. It's a colonnade. It generally did not have a roof. And if it had a roof, it was made with schach. It wasn't a fixed roof on the achsadra. More like a portico. Our chatzer also has the sharia chatzer, have a mezuzah on them. The chatzer doesn't have a roof on it. So where did Rashi come up with this idea? That has to be a roof. So Tosfos disagrees. It says that can't be the explanation here. Now those that answer on behalf of Rashi, to say that depends what the type of area is. If you're talking about an area that's normally roofed and it's missing the roof, that's a patur from mezuzah. If it's an area that's not normally roofed, then that's not a patur for mezuzah. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to know what the type of room or location that you're talking about, if it was normally roofed or not. That will make a difference as to whether that's a patur or not. Right now, Tosfos brings down one other possibility, which is, says Perush, if you look at the Tosfos, Perush, makom she petach shukev sham lamala, enu shaveh. The lintel is not even. El avanim min akipah, even nechnesim, even yotzeit. It's not a straight lintel. It's not a flat lintel, but like you have protrusions in, out, up, and down. That's what it means it's destroyed. It's not a flat lintel. And he says the same thing with the mezuzot. Mezuzot are not straight, but rather they're protrusions into the mezuzot. And that's what he says. The one is talking about the lintel, one is talking about the mezuzot, but talking about that they're not flat. They're uneven. They're protrusions, rocks sticking in and out. It wasn't made to frame out the door in a proper manner. And that's how Tosfos says the problem is over here. All right, next to Gemara. Amar Rav Rashi, Amar Rav Chista. Achsadra, Ptura min mezuzah, lefish in la ptzimim. This is what Tzvi, you had asked about before, about the idea of a door frame. Achsadra is patur. Achsadra has three walls. The fourth wall is completely open. And it's patur min mezuzah because in la ptzimim. Doesn't have door posts. Doesn't have posts on the side. It's an open wall entirely. Ha yesh la ptzimim chayav. If he does have door frame, I mean, has door posts, then it would be chayav. V'chizik tikra udavide. That's only there. Those two posts there are only to hold up the roof. Why should that create a door frame? Hakin kamar. This is what it means. Afo pish yesh la ptzimim ptura. Even though the achsadra has these door posts on the side, or posts on the side, the ptura, shein nesuim el chizik tikra. They're only there to hold up the roof. So this would be a big nafkamina. When you have a door frame, you have a frame out, what's the purpose of those posts? If those posts are simply there to hold up the roof, they're not considered to be a part of the frame. They don't create a door frame. On the other hand, if they are more than that, they frame out an area, that frame will be considered a door frame and will require a mezuzah. So that's always a difficulty in areas between rooms where there is no door between them. That area that is opened up, is it a door frame or is it just holding up the roof. Those are the pillars that are holding up the roof. You have to determine. Many times we'll put up a mezuzah there anyway and not make a bracha, do it with the other mezuzot, so on and so forth, in order not to be besafek, because we have a safek in those areas. Right? Amar Abaye, chazina lei lispladay de beimar. I saw the splade de beimar. Now, what this splade is a machloket rishonim. Over here, Rashi and Tosafot both seem to agree that we're talking about an achsadra. In Baba Batra, Rashi says it's a truklin, and the Oruch says that it is a mi'ara, a cave. But over here, it seems to be that at least everybody agrees here that Splide is an achsadra, the beimar, the ilupsime. It was the beimar, could either be Rav or Rabba. It's not clear who it's talking about, because of Baye. So he's talking about Rav, or he's talking about his Rebbe, Rabba. So he's splitted the beimar, the ilupsime. They had these posts, v'leile mezuzto, and they don't have mezuzot on them. Kasavar l'chizuk tikra, u'de avide. Must be that they think those posts were there to hold up the roof, and not to make a door frame. Meitve, is this really true? Beit Shar, achsadra umirpeset chayavim b'mezuzah. Oh, we just said achsadra's patur min a mezuzah, and now you have a Beit Shar achsadra umirpeset chayav b'mezuzah. B'achsadra de beirav. We're talking about the achsadra beirav. Where it says achsadra de beirav kindronam al yotohu. That's like a proper wall, a proper doorway. Why would you consider that to be potter mezuzah? Of course that's chayav mezuzah. Rashi says kambura. I don't know if he's saying chamber. I don't know if that's what the word in French that they're looking for over here. It's more like a chamber. It's more like a room. That, yeah, of course, has a mezuzah on it. No, so when it says achsadra rumita, talking about an achsadra rumita over here, which Rashi says, achsadra rumita is a kasuya chalonot chalonot. Talking about a case where there are many windows around it. When there are many windows around it so that the door frames don't reach the top, that the walls don't reach the ceilings, but there are windows there throughout, that is still a case where you are chayab b'mezuzah, whereas the cases that we're talking about here are where the whole wall is open on that side.
Why would I think they weren't chayab b'mezuzah?
Because they have chalonot instead of door. They're not walls that reach the ceiling. These windows that are there, that they don't have full walls. Since they're windows, I would think that windows
like
are not
frames on them.
I mean, their day windows didn't have glass in them. Windows were just framed out areas that are windows. So I think that's not a solid wall. It's not considered to be a doorway or wall, whatever it is. So on the Kamash Malon, that is considered to be a wall. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amar Achva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Beichar Zike chaye b'shtei mezuzot. Beichar Zike requires two mezuzot. Ma Beichar Zike? Amar Papa Sava, Mishmei D'Rab, Beit Shar, HaPatuach L'chatzer, U'batim Patuach L'Beit Shar. You have a small Beit Shar. Beit Shar is like a gateway. A gateway between the house and the chatzer. So you have one of the doorways out of it, the Beit Shar is Batuach L'Chatzer, goes out to the Chatzer, and one of them, Batim, Batim the Beit Shar, and then one of them houses going to the Beit Shar. So both of them need mezuzot. Tan Rabbanan, Beit Shar, Batuach L'Gina, L'Kitonit. You have a Beit Shar that sits between a small room and a garden. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nidon Kitonit. It's done like a Kitonit, like the rooms inside. Remember, Nidon Kitonit, as a din of Beit Shar. So now, what does that mean? Rav Shmuel Damrei Tamayu, Rav Shmuel say, Megina Labayit, Kuliyama Lo Plige De Chayav. From the garden into the house, everybody agrees that you're Chayav, because that's Derek Knisa. That's an entrance way. So for there, for sure, you're Chayav and Mezuzah. My time of Biyo Dabayitu. That's coming into the house. Kibli gave me by the Gina. Question the other way around. The one from the doorway out from the house to the Gina, does that need it? Mar Savar, one holds Kiaitonit Ikar. Marsavar Gina Ikar. The machlokes here between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is what is considered to be the Ikar here. Is the garden the Ikar or is the house the Ikar? On that doorway that's between them, which is more important, the Gina or the Bayit? And based on that, you will determine whether it needs Mezuzah or not. Rabbah, Rabbi Yossi, Tamar, Tamar, Bayit, the Gina, Kuli, Amal, Lo, Pligit, Patur. They state it the other way around. From the house of the Gina, everybody thinks it's Patur. Their argument is, my time up, Pitzchot, the Gino. That's clearly a doorway out to the garden. Keep Ligit, me, Gina, the Bayit. They argue about the case where the doorway is entering from that garden into the house. Marsava Bia the Bayit too. One says that that's the entrance to the house. Marsava Kule Adaita the Ginohu. The whole thing is built for the purpose of entering and exiting the garden. And that's what it's focused on, Davida. Bayit Rava Abde Kirab of Rav Yosef. Bayit Rava did like Rabbi Rav Yosef, which was to say that they poter anytime that it entered into the Gina. The only question was the entrance to the house. Rav Ashi Abde Kirab of Shmuel Chumra. Rav Ashi did like Rav Shmuel. So Rav Ashi being a Batra, Rav is also a Batra, Rav Ashi is even a further Batra. Ovid, Rav Shmuel Chumra. He did like Rav Shmuel Chumra. That means that he put up in both times. He put up in Zuzot, which means Hilchatak, Rav Shmuel L'Chumra, which means basically like Rabbi Yossi. Which means that automatically you put up a Zuzah for the entrance of the house, because that's Chayav and Mezuzah. The one out to the Gina was Machokas Rabbanon, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon said Potur, Rabbi Yossi said Chayav. He did the Chumra to say like Rabbi Yossi. He put up a Mezuzah on both of those. So if you have these, we have these today in the houses, you have a mudroom or a small area between the house and the garden. So clearly the entrance of the house requires a Mezuzah, and also they... One to the Gina also will require a mezuzah at the Chumrah. That's how we paskin that both of them require a mezuzah. The other thing Tosfos points out here is that we have a Gemara in Yoma that says, "Beper kamad Yoma tani yachol shani marbeah beit shar v'achsadur merpeset tamalom merbayit." That achsadur merpeset and all these areas do not require mezuzah. Yet our Gemara brings up right that says they do require a mezuzah. So Tosfos gives two answers here. He says, "Shlomar dahatam do right to v'hocham idrabonon." There, the Gemara in Yoma is talking about do right to. Right to they are patur. Achsadur merpeset beit shar opturim midor right to. Our Gemara is talking midrabonon. Is there a chiyum mezuzah in these places? So the difference between do right to idrabonon. Then he brings down barbitza kalfasi the rif. It's a different answer. Depends. Over here, these Beit Shar, Mir Peset, and Achsadra have an opening into the house. Since they have an opening into the house, they're all considered to be Knisa Labait, and therefore they require Mezuzah. The ones mentioned in Yoma did not open up into the house. Since they didn't open up into the house, they don't require Mezuzah, because they're not Knisa Labait. They themselves, as self-standing entities, don't require Mezuzah. They only require Mezuzah if they're an entrance to the house, they're an access point to the house, then they require Mezuzah. That's the way the Rif differentiates between them. Whereas Tosfos here is trying to differentiate between Doraita and Dirabonon. Gemara in Sukkah, Tosfos over there, says that he's Doche Perish Zeh. He knocks off this Perish, Dim Kein, Abalei Shnuye Hocha. That he should have answered. He's Doche the Rif, because it should have said here, the explanation between the steer between the Gemara here and the Gemara in Yoma, the Gemara should have just answered up that that's talking about an achsadra she'ena p'tucha l'bayit. They should have said what the Rif says. They should have just qualified the statement in Yoma and not had a problem in the Gemara there. The fact that the Gemara did not answer that way tells you that the Gemara doesn't think there's a differentiation between bayit and not bayit. Therefore, Tosfos there rejects the Rif's explanation. Over here, he leaves it just as an alternative. But over there, he in Sukkah Chet, he rejects that interpretation of the Rif. Okay, we'll stop over here.